This time, we give you praise and we give you glory. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity to come together in your name and to stay under the umbrella of your word. We pray that you have your way in our midst today and in our lives in Jesus' name. Our Father and our God, the only thing that we have that is different from the world is that we have Jesus. And it's Jesus who can make a difference in our lives. I pray this morning, O Lord, even as we hear you speak, that Jesus will speak for us in Jesus' name. That Jesus will make the difference in our lives in Jesus' name. Lord, for that difference to be made manifest, your word needs to have taken hold of our lives and be the final authority. I pray, O Lord, that every heart here is prepared and made a good ground for your word, so that, Lord Jesus, on that day you will not say, go away, I know you not, but will be people who will inherit your kingdom in Jesus' name. And Lord, even before we get to heaven, right on earth here, your word says we are going to reign as priests and kings. None of us will fall short of the position you intend for us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. Are you excited like Akin who saw the dad coming down and say, Daddy, 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 if you are that excited to be in the presence of the Lord, I say praise the Lord. Amen. Yes. Please, let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 13. We are going to read verse 18 to 23. Matthew 13, 18 to 23. We are going to look at a familiar story that we all know very well. I can tell you something, that the word of God is forever new, is inexhaustible, and we can always learn from it. It can always build us up. It can always change our lives. Matthew 13, verse 18 to 23. I'm going to read from Amplified Version just to capture the essence. And when I finish from there, I'm going to go ahead and read from Mark the same story. I'm going to read the same story from the book of Mark, chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 20. Mark chapter 4, verse 20. But before I go ahead and read, I almost forgot this. Please, can we just look after these kids? I almost forgot this. I want to believe that Mr. Owoyemi had arranged with some of the men to see him today. So please, if you are one of such people that promised to see him in the church today in regards to, you know what I'm talking about, please, can you quickly see Brother Abraham? And Brother Abraham, please write down their names so that, because time is really against us. Time is very, very much against us in terms of what we want to do. So please quickly see Brother Abraham after service. So I know some of us have promised that we're going to come in, you know, today with what we're talking about. So please quickly see Brother Abraham and settle with him, okay? So that we can sort out what we need to sort out during the week. God will bless you as you do so in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 13, verse 18 to 23. And then I'm going to read from Mark chapter 4, verse 20. So let's start with the Matthew 1. Jesus was speaking here. He said, listen then to the meaning of the parable of the sower. While anyone is hearing the word of the kingdom and does not grasp and comprehend it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the roadside. As for what was sown on thin rocky soil, this is he who hears the word and at once welcomes it and accepts it with joy. Yet it has no real root in him, but is temporary, that is, inconstant, lasts but a little while, and when affliction or trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, at once he is caused to stumble. He is repelled and begins to distrust and desert him whom he ought to trust and obey, and he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the pleasure and delight and glamour and deceitfulness of riches choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit. Please, I want you to take note of these things. Okay? The thorns. They are not necessarily bad things. But please take note of them. He says, and as for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the pleasure and delight and glamour and deceitfulness of riches choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit. So they are not things that will look bad to us. They are things that will look nice to us. They are good. Comfort. That they will choke the word. 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and grasps and comprehends it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100 times as much as was sown, in another 60 times as much, and in another 30. Now I'm going to quickly read from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 20. Same amplified, talking about the same thing, but I like the way it was put here. It says, and those sown on the good, that is well, listen to the word, that is well adapted soil, are the ones who hear the word and receive and accept and welcome it and bear fruit. Some 30 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some even 100 times as much. Your lives will bear fruits in Jesus' name. I say your lives will be fruitful in every ramification that is godly and righteous in Jesus' name. I want to talk to us not about all the grants, but I'm going to talk to us about a particular type of grant. Remember that different types of grants were talked about here. But I'm going to talk to you about the good grant. I'm not going to bother to talk about all these other grants, but we'll just talk about the good grant today. I'm trying to lay a foundation of things to come in the next 3-4 weeks. We'll be talking about the good grant for the next 3-4 weeks. And I'm simply going to talk to us today about how do you know a good grant. By the grace of God, next week I'll probably be able to start to talk to us about the ingredient, the characteristics of a good grant. But today we will talk about how you know a good grant. The good grant. How do you know a good grant? The Bible gives us an insight into a good grant and tells us that the good grant is the one that bears fruit. In other words, the good grant is the one that multiplies what was put into it and bring forth more than was put into it. Praise the Lord. But what are the characteristics? What are the things that make the good grant a good grant, that makes it be able to bring forth? Today, we will just quickly look at grant. In other words, some of the things we will see, or we need to see in our lives, to know that we are profiting from the word of God. Jesus was talking about the word of God. He said, the word of, you see, he said, these grants are the hearts of men in which the word of God is sown. And when the word of God is sown in a good ground, It will bring forth fruits. What are these fruits that the word of God needs to bring out to make us know that this is a good ground? And my prayer for us is that today will be a destiny defining moment in our lives. And as we hear this series, it's going to be life changing for us in Jesus' name. All our struggle in our Christian walk with the Lord will, you know, because the hand of the Lord God Almighty will be upon us. From today, it will no longer be a labor per se. It will be something that we will do joyously in Jesus' name. And I told us of recent that I've been redefining problems, so-called problems. I'm redefining them based on my understanding of the Word of God. I'm beginning to redefine problems. Things that I used to think are problems, I actually begin to see that they are not problems, that they are things that are bringing out the best of God out of us. But if we do not have the Word of God, we will continue to see problems as problems, and they will continue to be problems to us. But when we begin to have the Word of God dwell in us, and the Word of God is doing what it's supposed to be doing, I'm telling you, the things that are supposed to be problems for you, they become the vehicles that transport you to the place of your destiny. Only the Word of God can do it. That is why we need to know what the Word of God needs to be doing in our lives. Of course, I know that all of us know what a tree is. When we talk about trees. And of course, the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. In other words, trees produce fruits. So you will know the type of tree from the type of fruit. Right? It does not tell you whether the fruit is of good quality or not, does it? When you see an apple, you know it's from an apple tree, isn't it? When you see tomato, you know it's from tomato plants, isn't it? Just the tomato may not be good, but you still know it's tomato. The apple may not be good, but you still know it's an apple. So the type of tree determines the type of fruit that you produce. But you know the quality of the fruit, or you know the quality of the ground by the quality of the fruit. Am I right? Let me give you an example. I told you every area of my life preached to me. I went to the supermarket yesterday, to one of the supermarkets there. And they had their fruits in two sections. I saw apples, I saw pears, I saw, you know, all the fruits in one section. And I turned around again, and I saw the same set of fruits in another section. For me, I like Fuji apple. When I went to that section, the first section, I saw Fuji apple there. They packed them in plastic bags. And when I went to the other side, I saw Fuji apple again. But all the other fruits that were on the other side, the second side, you see them, they say Fuji apple premium. Pears premium. You see the Fuji apple on the other side, some of them are as big as this. They look inviting. They put them at, I can't remember how much per kg. But the Fuji apple on the other side, they were all looking malnourished and kwashiorkor. Little like this, and they put like 8 or 10 of them together for like $4 something, while the other one is about $7. The same Fuji apple. And I can repeat, you see, the mirror combination or, you know, collection of fruits on this side and on that side. But on the other side, they write premium. Go to Lime. You know the place near Bonnie's here, along Leech Highway. That's the supermarket I'm talking about. They arrange it that way. But it's the same fruit arranged in two different places at different prices. One they call premium, the other one just like that. So, when you look at the fruit, both of them are apples. So you know they are from apple trees. But the quality, you can basically say that this must have come from a very good soil. So the quality of the soil will determine the quality of the fruit that will come. That is what Jesus is making us to understand today. In other words, we can be all Christians, children of the living God, but the word may not produce the same quality of character and moral well-being, except it falls on a good ground. The state of our heart will determine the quality of the Christian character, or how much we are going to profit by the word. My prayer for us, all of us, is that we are going to profit by the word of God today in Jesus' name. Let's quickly look at some of the fruits or some of the things that the word is meant to produce that will bring out that quality, that premium apple, that premium tomatoes, that premium, pears. The heavenly premium of Christian living from our lives. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. He said, "And how from your childhood you have had a knowledge of and been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you and give you the understanding for salvation, which comes through faith in Christ Jesus, through the leaning of the entire human personality on God in Christ Jesus, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. Every scripture is God's breath, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and actions, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every what? Every good work." So that the man of God may be complete and proficient and well-fitted and thoroughly equipped to produce premium fruits. This is my own word. To produce what? Premium fruits. Why does the word... You see, the word has to work in our lives if we are going to produce that quality of fruits that was stationed in the second part of the supermarket. And I'm telling us that we have that responsibility. I know that our time is almost finished, but let me just tell you a story. How many of us read The Weekend? Is it Weekend West Australia or something? Okay, The Weekend West. How many of us read it yesterday? I read it, and I think I pointed one story out to somebody after I read it. Go and read it. I have a copy in the office here. They said the immigration department is investigating some churches. It's there for everybody to see, so it's no secret. Why? They said, listen to this. They said the churches from certain part of the world, I mean, the, you know, that they are bringing in ladies for prostitution, and they run massage parlors. Is there? Is in the office. I'll show you. Now, I told my wife, I said to them, I said, look, it is possible that the pastors, the churches, may not even know. And what was happening is that in the process of being nice, kind, merciful, okay, they bring in people as students, and of course, once people come in, they help people to come in, and once people come in, you don't decide what they do you? And of course, if, for example, the individual gets into trouble, the police apprehend them, they check out their visa and look at how they came in and saw that it was church that brought them in, and they maybe catch 2-3 people like that. What happens to the church? The church gets a bad name. Anyone who is interested is in the office right here. I saw it this morning. What am I saying? If as church members, Christians, members of the church, we will not allow the word to reign supreme in our lives, the day is going to come back. It's going to come back in a big way that brings us to disrepute. You know, people say, you like to judge. You think you are this. You think you are that. You don't know that you are actually protecting the name of the kingdom. Because you never know when things will go wrong. It's in the papers. And so, the Bible makes us to understand that the reason we come to hear the word of God like this is so that certain things can happen in our lives. One is so that we can receive salvation. He said, it makes man wise unto salvation. So when you look at the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you and give you the understanding for salvation, anyone who hears the word of God and say they have understanding of that word and have not given their life to Christ, they haven't started. For the word of God to be fruitful in our lives, it must have brought us into the place of salvation in the Lord. Remember, I told you that I'm just laying foundation today. The other thing that the word is to do in our lives is that it brings us to a place, not just of salvation, is a place that builds up our faith so that we no longer live by sight, but we live by what? By faith. And I've told her that this is what separates us from other people around us. When Jesus gave thanks, like I told you in the morning, Jesus was not thanking God because Lazarus was in the grave and dead, but was thanking God because he could see Lazarus in his eyes of faith that Lazarus was going to live. When he had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, he did not see the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. He saw the increase. He saw the multitude being fed. When the word of God begins to have impact upon our lives, we begin to see beyond the ordinary. We are no longer limited by the things that are available to the physical realm. We begin to delve into the things of the supernatural realm. The supernatural realm and the spiritual realm become so real to us that some people may even think we are deluded. Some people may think that we are foolish. But it's because you have seen beyond the dividing line that separates the physical from the spiritual. That is what the word of God should be doing in the lives of every child of God that is profiting from the word. And of course, the word should be producing godly wisdom that makes us flee from destruction. That is why when a child of God comes to church like this and he hears the word of God and he knows something is not right, he makes a roundabout turn and said, no more from today. Because the enemy knows that once we are on the wrong side of God, he can come and plunder us. And he knows that once we start living godly, that there is a hedge round about us. Do you remember Job? When Satan came, he said, why would Job not serve you? He said, because you have made a hedge round about him. And the Bible says, he who breaks the hedge, the serpent bites. Because the enemy wants us to break the hedge. He knows once we break the hedge, he has free access into our lives. Every access that the enemy has into your life from today will be blocked from him in Jesus' name. And of course, the word is meant to produce sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. It's not just all kind of doctrine. It's sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is the one that you can stand by in the face of argument and adversity. Not because somebody said, it is because God has said. He says, the word of God is also for reproof. Remember I talked about roundabout turn. You say, look, this is the way I was going before. I no longer go there. In other words, what I look at the meaning of reproof. The word of God, he says, reproof is also to rebuke, denunciation, or criticism for a fault. So in other words, when we come under the umbrella of the authority of the word of God picks in our lives and says, look, these areas are not good. We need to do things differently. And every child of God will do what? Will start to do things differently. It may be any area of our lives. And as soon as the word touches us, we do things differently. If we continue to do things the way we used to do them, it means the word has not profited us. Let's not deceive ourselves. I've told us God will not bless you by what you know. God will bless you by what? Eh? By what you do. It's not how much of the word we know, it's how much of the word we do. Because the Bible says it's not the hearer that gets blessed, but the doers of the word that get blessed. He said, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers alone, deceiving yourselves. And I told you, when we show integrity toward the word of God, it's a defense for us. Remember King Hezekiah. When the angel of death came and said, it's time to go. What did Hezekiah say? He said, Lord, how I have served you. Lord, how I have been faithful to you. Lord, how I have stood before you. Lord, how I have, you know, not renounced you. Lord, how I have been. And God said to the prophet, he said, go back, go and tell him he has 15 more years. He has 15 more years. The word is a defense. When we take it, it says for correction, to make straight again, to rectify, to make right a wrong. When we hear the word of God today and there is a wrong and we don't make it right, the word has not profited us. It does not matter what excuse we give. And you will never know how the word is going to save you one day. How do I mean? I'm sure many of us read in the papers some things that happen in the health department. You probably read it. You know, as people who work in health department, we enjoy some benefits. Before now, they call it salary packaging. You could have, I mean, a proportion of your salary without it being taxed. That you can just, you know, you can spend on entertainment, and I'm talking like thousands if you choose to, without being taxed. Some people use it for their whatever, whatever. And a particular guy was said to had converted all his money into that, so much so that he made like $600,000. So he wasn't paying any tax at all. It was in the papers, and until government came in and they had to slash everything. And I was saying to my wife, I said, thank God because when I close from work, I come home. I'm in my house or doing something. I don't even have friends. Because most of the people that were caught in the whole process were people who had friends, and they were going out together, and they will photocopy receipt. So if, say, you spend $500, then they will photocopy receipt and give that the same receipt to everybody, and then they will make claims to get free money. Thank God that I was not, you know. I said, thank God I don't have friends there. You don't know how, you know, just serving God and being in a different place will just save you from some things. You may not intend to do it. You may just be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you just become, and how many doctors, how many nurses lost their job because the state government said it doesn't matter how many people are involved. He said they relieve everybody of their jobs, and I'm talking about tens of people. What will save you? Maybe the word of God that you know. Because the word of God said, look, you can't do this, and you just choose based on the word of God that you are not going to partake in it. I tell my wife something. I say, it's not every day that you have accident. That's why it is called accident. If it is an everyday occurrence, then it's no longer accident. It becomes normal. Because you don't know when an accident is going to occur, you must not prepare yourself to be a victim of that accident. That is why we need to follow the word of God. You see, every day the bucket goes to the well, but one day the bottom will drop out. You will not be in that bottom in Jesus' name. The word has to do something in our lives. It says it's for instruction. And what does instruction mean? Being told how to do something. A guide on how to. That's the word of God. And lastly, because I know our time is gone, is for perfection. After all these things have been done, when we allow the word to have its way in our lives, it perfects us, and then we can begin to manifest the good works, the so-called premium fruits, the premium, you know, Fuji apple I saw. You know, I like Fuji apple, praise God. The premium pears, the premium, you know, grapes, the premium, it will come out in our lives. That is what the word of God is meant to do. I've told us we'll probably have this series for the many weeks to come. But I pray today that even as we hear these words, it will start to produce a change in our lives in Jesus' name. It is not about guilt. It's about godly repentance. That will make a difference in our lives wherever we find ourselves. And I'm going to pray for some sets of people this morning as we rise up on our feet. I'm going to pray for a set of people this morning. Let's just rise up and pray. Please, can you just bring the bread and the wine for the Holy Communion as we take it? I'm going to pray for some people based on the word of God that we have just heard. I'm going to pray for some people. Can we just close our eyes, please? Let's close our eyes. You've heard the word. I want you to pray. Say, Father, just make my heart a good ground for your word. Make my heart a good ground. Your word will daily change me. Your word will daily transform my life. Your word will daily turn me around. Your word, O Lord, will prepare me for eternity. Your word will have its way and a free course in my life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I say, I want to pray for some people. Please, all eyes closed, all heads bowed. God has led me to pray for this group of people. You are in the house this afternoon. You have been doing the right things. And it looks like other people are profiting and they are making a headway in life. And it looks like you haven't made it as much as they have been making it. Or it looks like your prayer has not been answered as yet. Maybe there's something you are looking for, and you know other people are cutting corners. You have refused to do it, and you are asking God, will you disappoint me? Do I have to go the way of other people? Please, all eyes closed, head bow. Can you just lift up your hand? You are in the house. I want to join my faith with yours this morning so I can pray with you. That God will provide an open door for you. Because you are taking a stand for the Lord will arise for your sake. If you are in the house, can you just lift up your hand? You are in that situation. You know how other people are doing it, but you have chosen not to do it that way. Just being faithful to God so that the way of the gospel will not be evil spoken of. And you have decided because of God that you are going to choose the right way. Just lift up your hand to the Lord this morning. I want to join my faith with yours. And I want to tell you that the Lord will visit you. The Lord will honor your faithfulness. My Father, my God, I just lift up these ones before you, Lord. They have heard your word. And they are holding true to your word. Lord Jesus, they will not be put to shame. And they will not be disappointed in Jesus' name. Every area, their mates and their colleagues are prospering. And they have chosen not to cut corners, but to do it the right way. And in faithfulness, so that your name will not be blasphemed. My Father, my God, remember them today, O Lord. And be gracious and merciful to them in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, so that the world will not ask, where is your God? Father, arise for their sakes in the mighty name of Jesus. You know those things in their lives, O Lord. Lord, visit them. Touch them, O Lord. Let there be a turnaround, O Lord. Because I've spoken your word. And I said that we need to hold on to the word. And they are holding on to the word. Father, honor your name in their lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Please quickly pass the bread down and the wine. Please, when you take the bread, I want you to eat it. But keep the wine. We are going to drink in unison. If you take the bread, just eat it. I want you to start praying to the Lord for that thing you are looking unto God for. Ask God to visit you. One of the prayers we pray this morning is that after eating this bread and drinking this wine, infirmity will no longer be part of your body. Failure will no longer be part of your life. Depression will not be your lot. Disappointment will work to your advantage. Mountains will be moved in your life. Obstacles become vehicles for your success. The counsel of the Lord begins to stand concerning you. That is our prayer this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, to have your way. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every move that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. Father, have your way in the lives of your people. Sin will have no dominion over us anymore. The work of the enemy will have no dominion over us anymore. We receive of the life of Jesus today. That same spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead is going to raise us above the obstacles of life and the restraints of the kingdom of darkness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's drink in unison. Thank you, Jesus, because your presence is here. Thank you for the healing virtues. Thank you for destinies that you are aligning with your word from today. Thank you for the profiting of your children, O Lord, as a result of the word of today. Thank you because your children are living above the restraints and the constraints of the kingdom of darkness. We are moving on to a new life in Jesus Christ. Blessed be your name, O Lord. And our hearts are being turned into good grounds for your words. We bless you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.